Okay, so we're on Ayin, Hey, Amud Aleph. If we're counting from the top, we're at 17 lines from the top. On the end of the line, the last two words are B'mayim Yuva. So the Gemara is going to ask, now again, we're continuing with this conversation about the different types of, you know, things that a person needs to become able to eat, Truma, Meiser, Kachim, etc. So the Gemara asks, "B'mayim yuva v'tamei ada ayev lamali." And so, what are we talking about? So, if you look at Rashi, Rashi's like six lines down on the right. "V'tamei b'mayim yuva v'tamei afla achar bias hamayim kara v'tamei." Right, meaning "b'mayim yuva v'tamei ada ayev." Right, that the pasuk there is telling me that he. Not that one. Before. There's two Rashi's before that. B'mayim yuva v'tamei ada aref. Akorcha l'truma ayri. This pasuk, he says, is l'chor referring to truma. Why? Midibay ha'arev shemesh. Because it's saying, b'mayim yuva v'tamei ada aref. Right? So you can go to the mikvah, and it's actually talking about kli, that becomes tamei. And the pasuk says about it, you put it in water, and then it's tamei until the nighttime. So presumably, it's talking about truma, right? That you need ha'arev shemesh, and then you have... Then it's you know, then you can use it, right? So the Gemara wants to know what I need for it. Lamali typically me uva shemesh v'taher, right? Uva shemesh v'taher is the same exact rule, right? That a person wants to eat truma, so they go to the mikvah and then uva shemesh v'taher, and then when the sun. By the way, in that case, uva shemesh here bia shemesh means the sun going down. Sometimes bia shemesh you think means it's coming, right? It's opposite. The bia shemesh means it's going down. So that pasuk itself tells me that when the sun goes down, after going to the mikvah, now I can eat truma. So what do I need another pasuk, right, for this purpose? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zera nin legia, not to tell me that it's usher to eat truma until the sun goes down, but that I'm not allowed to even touch truma until the sun goes down. The Sanya, as I said, teaches in the Braisa, v'tamei yachol lako, v'tamei ad arif. I'm not thinking about tamei, it means for everything. Tamalomar v'taher. So the pasuk, no, v'taher, then eventually he'll be tahor. I v'taher yachol lakol. So if it's v'taher, I might think it's permissible to do everything. Tam alomar v'tamei. No, I'm not good yet, right? Until the sun goes down. Ha'ketzad kan l'maiser kan l'truma. Meaning that look at Rashi says, l'negiyah dekra d'le'el b'achil l'mishtai, right? The first pasuk was talking about eating. So this one, k'yasivach achayach yochal mina kadashim, right? Uba shemesh v'taher. Sun goes down, and then I can eat kachim, right? For high crab, but this other pasuk, bekelim mishta, like I mentioned before, this b'mayim yuva v'tamei ada aref, it's just talking about kelim. Dinegiyah ba'almahi, or just about touching, right? V'ashminan kli, v'hu adin la'adam, tvul yom, lo yiga b'truma, that's not just only a kli, but even a person cannot touch truma. And now, next Rashi explains the drasha, v'tamei, b'mayim yuva v'tamei af la'achar b'yas ha'mayim, kro tamer, even after touching the water, even if you have to go into the mikvah, you're still called tamei. Right? Ada arav yachal akol. I might think have tamei to everything. Tamalomar v'taher midlo k'siv v'yitaher or v'yitar mashma damei karakai kodem arav shemesh. Meaning, when it comes to teaching me, I might think that v'tamei ada arav means I'm tamei now until sunset comes. I'm tamei to everything. No, so the pasuk says v'taher. We usually read that to mean, and now you are tahor afterwards. And no, v'taher, meaning, and he was actually already a little bit tahor before, and now is fully tahor after going to the mikvah. So what does that mean? You were originally, and now you're more? Meaning, I was already allowed to eat meiser, right? And now truma. So go back to the Gemara for a second, right? Haketa kan l'meiser, kan l'truma. As you see that for meiser, I was already allowed to eat meiser even before I... before the sun went down, and once the sun goes down, because I got into the mikvah, then when the sun goes down, I'm allowed to eat truma, right? These are like the different stages here, right? So the Gemara says, well, how do you know that? We've said this many times, right? How do I know? Maybe I can eat meiser only after the sun goes down, and I can eat truma, you just have to go into the mikvah. So the Gemara says, no, chamira achila the truma me'achila the meiser. Hachanami, hachamir, negiyah d'chuma, negiyah d'meiser. So again, this point is talking about just not eating, it's about touching. So how do I know that we're being more machmir by chuma than meiser? So the answer is because you're more machmir by meiser, by chuma than meiser by eating. But so we should be more machmir by truma also when it comes to touching. It just makes sense. Well, why would it make sense to do anything different? But if you want, I'll say negiyah de truma mehacha nafka. Or I'll tell you, no, the negiyah of truma, the isra of touching truma, can come from a different pasuk. Bechal kodesh lo tiga. That's a different pasuk that says you can't touch kachim. Okay, that's kachim. Azhar la ochel. Oh, eino el negiyah. Is that a warning not to eat, or even a warning not even to touch? You're gonna ask Akasha, how am I supposed to eat without touching? So the Gemara has examples of. It's going to be tach of the toch base ablia. If someone would put food in your mouth, straight inside. So there's the isra of negiyah is only from the outside of your body. So if someone put the food directly in your mouth, right? So that would be eating without touching, technically. So tamalam b'chol kodesh latiga. So comes the pasuk, tell me no, b'chol kodesh latiga. Ve'elam mikdash latovo, and I cannot come to the mikdash. Makish kodesh lemikdash. It's a connection between kodesh and mikdash. Ma mikdash davash yesh b'natinas neshama. When it comes to mikdash, so there's an iser of like by kachin, there's an iser of misa, if you eat a betumah, etc. So af kodesh davash yesh b'natinas neshama. So the kodesh also is referring to something that brings with it an iser misa if you did the wrong thing with it, right? And that's talking about again truma. If you eat truma betuma, there's a chiyav misa. Look at Rashi. It says netilas neshama. Right, habala mikdash tame. Someone comes to the mikdash is tame bikares zinir sekares. Shenemar v'nechasa kiyas the mikdash Hashem tame. Af kodesh davar sheish bol netilas neshama. Hainu achila betuma. Shu gabe kodesh bikares v'ocha truma v'tuma b'misa. Right, we said before that a person who eats that was the ches. That was the mem in the machpas, right? That if you eat it, betuma, you're going to be chayv misa. So clearly it's talking about kachim, it's really talking about truma. Okay. So af kodesh davar sheyesh b'netilas neshama, u'negiyah netilas neshama leika. Right? But when it comes to, when it comes to touching, there is no, I would think there's no netilas neshama. If you touch kachim and you're not supposed to, or touch truma, when you're talking, there's no, you're not chayv misa. No, the Gemara says, v'hai afke b'lashin negiyah. Yeah, but the Gemara used the pasuk used the language of a negiyah. Why does it use the language of a negiyah? You're not actually just touching it. It's an isra of eating it. Gemara says no. Hachika amar negiyah ke achila. So the purpose of this whole thing is to teach me that negiyah is like achila. Even though again, I don't think negiyah is like achila in terms of the severity of the isra. Right? Eating truma betuma is going to be a chiyav misa. Touching truma betuma is not going to be a chiyav misa. But negiyas kachila, Rashi points out, ha asr lecha asr lika. Someone who touches it is all just like you're asr. If you are forbidden to touch to eat truma, you're also asr to touch truma. But regardless, I have one of the two options in terms of having a proof that that the isser of negiyah b'truma applies in the same situations that it's forbidden to eat truma. So ba shem shvetaher and the other pasuk, but my muva v'tamei ad ha'arev. So they come to teach me these dinim that applies both to achila and to negiyah when it comes to truma.
Similar to chametz, right? Like chametz, you can't just eat it. You can't just like have it in your possession.
Chametz, you have a separate isser of ba'yura ba'yimatze, right? You can't see it. Right, you're not supposed to be found anywhere. That is true. Right, you're saying why is that? You're saying can I spin it? Are you trying to say that why would it be that it's an isra of achila batuma of negiya batuma by truma? Maybe because we're concerned that you might come to eat it
because the isra misa.
It could be it could be. That'd be like if you were like you're for like giving reasons to the right.
To
it's like it's what the Gemara refers to sometimes as a siag daraisa. Right, so for example, you have by the isra yichud. Right, so some assume the machlokas is isra yichud is daraisa darabanan. So if it's daraisa, so some refer to it as a siag daraisa. Right, yichud is just a siag; it's just a fence to make sure that a person doesn't do the really bad thing. Right. So, but if it's daraisa, how's that a siag? The answer is sometimes even the Torah itself has, fences to make sure we don't do the worst isser. Interesting. Okay. So now we're going to talk about a totally different thing, but Tzu Adaka. So we're back. If you look back in our Mishnah, right? So our Mishnah which talked about different people who can't eat truma, the Arel, Temeim, Nisheim, Vavdeim, etc. So now the next example, we just spent all this time talking about Arel. Now we're going to talking about Tzu Adaka u'Kru Shifcha. So the Mishnah said Tzu Adaka u'Kru Shifcha. Hein ve'avdehen yochlu v'nesheyen lo yochlu. So the lucky is someone who has pitzua daka, right, that his testicles are crushed or injured in some way, ukrushifcha, that his actual aver has been severed in some way. So that person and their avadim, they can eat truma, but their wives, but his wife is not allowed to eat truma. But if they never had tashmish, meaning if they were married already, and then he became a pitzua daka, ukrushifcha, so she can continue to eat truma, right? So it's only once she's together, she has tashmish with him while he is a b'tzua daka k'shifcha, that he passes her from eating truma. Okay, fine. So the Gemara asks the following question: Man tana mishtameres labia pesula de'araisa achla. Right. So this is actually a conversation we had way a while back on Daf Nun Vav, I think. Yeah. So look at Rashi. Man tana mishtameres labia pesula achla. So Rashi says, Dikatani vim lo yida'a mishenase b'tzua daka hare elu lo yochlu af agav dimitzape u mishtameres labia. Right? This should not say hare elu lo yochlu. Yochlu. Is that what Rashi says?
Yeah.
It should say that because that's what the Mishnah says. Hare elu yochlu, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's what mine says too. Okay, I won't blame Rashi. I blame me. Hare elu, hare. I read it because it's the elu. I read it as lo yochlu. Hare elu yochlu. Yeah. So we paskin, right? Or that's the Mishnah said that as long as they haven't been together and haven't had tashmish, she's allowed to continue eating truma, right? Why is that? Yes, even though she's married to him, right? She's married to him, and then as soon as they have tashmish, she's going to be forbidden to eat truma. So this halacha seems to fall into the same category as any individual who's in the, you know, waiting in the wings with a relationship that will eventually pass her, right? So where did we see that before? So the Gemara says, so meaning right now she's technically permitted to eat truma midaraisa, but very soon once she's together with her husband, she's going to become forbidden to eat truma. She's going to come sula to it, right? So says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Lazar b'machlokes shinuya. This is the machlokes. This is the machlokes in daf nunvav beis. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon he, and this is Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon he. Right, Rav Yochan Amar. Fine. And what are we talking about? Look at Rashi. Machlokas Shinuya Perkabal Yavamto. Almana Lakoin Gadol Grusha. Grusha Vechalutza Lakoin Hedya. Right. Minha Erison. So Lo Yochlu Betruma. Rabbi Yelaz. Rabbi Yoshimon Machshirin. So we had the following case. Right. An Almana is not allowed to marry Koin Gadol. Grusha Vechalutza not allowed to marry Koin Hedya. However, that's only usher once they have Nisuin. Right. So what happens when they've had Kiddushin? We mentioned before that they used to always do it, right? That they'd do Kiddushin first, they'd stay married for a year, and then they'd have Nisuin. So the status is that these individuals, when they become, so even she's a Bas, not Bas Kohen, she's a Bas Yisrael, right? And she marries a Kohen Hedya, she's a Grusha, she gets Kiddushin to Kohen Hedya, or she's an Amana, marries a Kohen Gadol, just Erisin, or just Kiddushin, she at that point eats Truma. Even though, as soon as they do Nisuin, she's going to be forbidden to eat truma because she becomes passeled by marrying him. Nevertheless, so that case is the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon, they hold that she is allowed to eat truma in such a case, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan holds that she's forbidden to eat. So the lechora says the Gemara, it's the same machlokas, right? What's going on over here, or at least, the opinion in our Mishnah that says. There's no machlokas by our Mishnah. Our Mishnah just says that they can eat truma. Presumably, it is the shita of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who hold that in that scenario, right, by the amano married who does erison with the Kohen Gadol, that she can eat truma. So too, this woman who's waiting also to, you know, has not yet done anything to make her puzzle, but still has that relationship, remains permitted to eat truma. So basically, who is this? It's these guys. It's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Fine, Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Yochan would say, Afilu tamer Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochan says, no, even Rabbi Meir would agree that, who's of the opinion that when it comes to Amana and Agrusha, etc., that they are forbidden to Juma. Shani hacha shekvar achla. He says, no, this case is different. Why? Because in this case, she's already been eating Truma. She's been married to this guy for 30 years. Right? And now all of a sudden he got into some accident and he becomes a pesua daka. So that's not, you know, she was already eating truma for so long. So that's why we let her continue to eat until they have tashmish. And that's why it's not really, this is not our machlokas, meaning even the shita that holds when it comes to Amana Lekohen Gadol, etc., that it'd be forbidden because she's a, you know, again, she's a mishtamer sabiya psula. This is different because she was already eating shuma. Because in that case, she could be a bas Yisrael who marries the Kohen in the first place, right? It's the Eris and that makes her permitted to eat shuma. That was the machlokas. Here she was already eating. Rabbi Lazar says, no, shekvar achalo amrin. Rabbi Lazar can say no. He'll say, no, we are, the issue of kvar achla, that we don't care about. And why is that? The fact she's eating already doesn't matter to us. Why do you though, tema achla? Because if you don't say that, bas Yisrael shenisei es lekohen umeis baila, tochal shekvar achla. We're going to say that, you know, there's many cases like that. Any woman who's a bas Yisrael, a non-bas kohen, who's married to a kohen, she eats for as long as they're married, and then when he dies, she stops eating truma, right? Assuming she doesn't have a child, etc., right? So that's true. She should let her keep eating. So we don't say that. The fact that she has been eating before doesn't mean anything for her status now. Mara says no. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Hasam paka kinyane. In that case, she was married and her marriage is destroyed. Right? She got divorced or he dies. Hachalo paka kinyane. Here she's still married to him. So that's in this, and he's the reason for her eating. So that's why she would say no, fine. But basically, the Gemara ends with this machlokas. Is this would everybody agree, right? That in this case is unique, and that's why she allows to be able to eat, or no? Is this case actually just one side of the machlokas, and we assume that only those who would allow her to eat if she was a man of the Kohen Gadol or a grusha, the Kohen Hedyo, a Be'erusim would also allow her to eat truma here in this case. Fine. Fine. So now the Gemara wants to know what is a Betsua Daka, what is a Kroshivcha, how do we explain what these cases are? So says the Gemara as follows, and I'll tell you, I'm not a urologist, so I can't, you know, speak for my medical information here, but I'll go with what the Gemara says. So Ezu Betsua, what is a Betsua Daka? So Tana Rabbanan, Ezu Betsua Daka, what does it mean that someone's a Betsua Daka? Kol Shenivtsu Beisim Shelo. So it means that one of his testicles was injured, right? Was injured in some way. Rashi uses niftsu kamo petza, right? So it's some type of, again, like a wound. And the assumption in the Gemara, we're going to see throughout the time, is that it's an injury that makes him now sterile. Right? It's an injury that makes him unable to have more children. And it's a very interesting discussion, by the way, in the Rishonim Achronim, like what's the svara, like what's the rationale that the Torah doesn't want this person, because the halacha is a suzaka, lo yafo bakal, they can't marry into the, like, what, it's not their fault, like, what do you want from them? So some of the Achronim, I think it's the Sefer Achinuch says, that there's a concern that people were doing, this happens, right, not on their own, this happens to the person to an accident or something like that, but there were those who were doing it to themselves on purpose, right? Being misaris themselves, sterilizing themselves. There were you know, eunuchs who would work for the king, etc. And they were and that again, this is not their abundant, this is their rights. It's like those who explained the reasons for mitzvos, that there was like this concern that people were, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, people doing it to themselves. So because he wanted to make sure that people weren't doing it to themselves, so he made it an issue of Lavoba Kal Hashem, even if it happened not by choice. That's, you know, you want to explain rationale for mitzvah, or you can just say because the Torah says so. But you know, that's a reason also. But that's one of the rationales given by the Sefer Achinuch. Okay, so Ezu B'tzu Daka Kol Shenivtzu Beitzim Shelo. V'afilu Achasen, even just one of them. V'afilu Nikvu, and even if it just became punctured. V'afilu Nimuko, or even if it Nimuko is like. Shriveled up, or like Rashi says, nimuko machmas maka, nimuko vuhuktenu meilen. Right, it happens like from some type of injury, but it dissolves almost, you know, on its own. Vafidu chasro, right, or even if he's just there's like just some piece of it, you know, that gets, you know, removed. So Amr Yishmael ben Oshem Yishmael Yochan ben Broka Shemati mipi chachamim. I heard from the chachamim bekerem beyavne shekol she'ein lo ela beitza achas. That someone who has, you know, is only missing one of the two, so he's called a saris chama. What's a saris chama? So a big discussion of what saris chama means. Saris chama might mean that he is chama, meaning from a fever, like meaning saris chama. If a person, you know, somehow has something happened to the function of his testicles because of a fever or an illness, so that's kasher. That's not a problem. We've been talking about typically if there's some type of injury or something that makes them. So this person who has only one beitza, but again, he has one at least, so then he's like a saris chama, and he's kasher, and that in which case he's not pasul. So the Gemara says, Saris Chama, Asachat Adach, Ela Harehu Kisaris Chama Vekarsha. I mean, it's not actually a Saris Chama, because that's impossible. You know, but the point is that he's like a Saris Chama, and he is Kasha. Some explain Saris Chama means that he's sterile from birth, right? not from illness, but like from the time that the light shined on him, right? From the time he saw the light of the day. Fine, those people are also kosher. Fine. So now the Gemara asks a different question. V'nikev lo molid, right? If there's a puncture in one of them, he can't have children. V'ha, who gavra? There was a man who was climbing a palm tree. V'charze silo bebeitzim, right? And one of the branches, whatever, caused a puncture in one of his beitzim. V'nafak minei kechut demugla. V'olid, there's some amount of either semen was coming out of the testicle and it was like pus, whatever. Basically, it was clear that there had been a puncture there, and nevertheless, this person had a child. So what do you mean that again? Because the whole point is that these are injuries that cause a person not to be able to have children. So you see that nikev is a situation where you can actually have a child afterwards. So answers the Gemara, Hashalach Shmuel lekamei the Rav. Shmuel sent this to Rav. V'amrlein Rav said back to him, Seva chazra abanav me'ayin him. It's not true. He goes, you think the guy had children? And then you have children. And Rashi says, me'ayin him, zinsa yishto. No. If he had children, there's a problem there. It was his wife went somewhere else. It wasn't from him. Okay. Meaning, yes, we assume that at that point it becomes impossible to have children. So Amri Behuda Amr Shmuel, again, I can't speak to the medical world, if this is really true or not, how these injuries affect the ability to have children. But Amri Behuda Amr Shmuel, Pitzua daka bidei shemayim kasher. So Rav Shmuel says, if a person pitzua daka bidei shemayim, it just happens on its own right, Rashi says, aydei ra'amim, mubarad, umimei imo, he's born that way. Or again, it's through not through an injury. Right? So that person is kasher. So Amarava, hainu de karidan pitzua, velo karidan ha pitzua. That's why it refers to in the Torah as pitzua daka, but not ha pitzua daka. The assumption being that ha pitzua means like, and an individual who has always been this way. For some reason, the hey implies like it was ha pitzua, like you were born like that, as opposed to pitzua, which means it's something that's happened to you. Once you're already alive. Okay, masnis entana ne'amar lo yavu pitzua v'ne'amar lo yavu mamzer ma'ala halam b'dei adam afkam b'dei adam. So others explain, I'll tell you a different reason, right? Why? Because it says lo yavu pitzua and it says lo yavu mamzer. A mamzer is not something that comes b'dei shemayim. Mamzer becomes something that somebody did, right? It's the relationship that happened between the parents that create the mamzer. So too, it's bidei adam. So too, pitzua daka, something that happens bidei adam. Doesn't mean it happens on purpose, right? But it just happens that it's done by people's actions, even if it was a mistake. Amar Rava, pitzua bakulon, dach bakulon, karas bakulon. So the Rava says this din of pitzua and dach and karas, right? Pitzua means, again, like puncture, dach is crushed, and karas is severed. That's true by all of the different parts of that area of the body. Okay, so what are we going to see? Look, Rashi says bekulon, beitzim, vigid, vechute beitzim. Remember, that's the testicles, that's the aver itself, or the parts of the body that connect the testicles to the body. Right? If there's any all of these types of injuries can happen to all three, and it would have that status. So the Gemara can go through each one. Patsua bekulon, it can have a case of puncture by any of them. Any of them, right? Dach, it could be crushed. Bekulon, right? Any of them could have, again, it could be crushed and have this status afterwards. And karas bekulon, the din of being severed, also by all of them. Any of them, they can have any of these three. Any of these three can have any of these three things happen to them and have it have that status in terms of being lo yavo, but they're not able to be yavo bakalashim. Okay, so Amar le'ahu mirabanan l'rava. So one of the rabbanan said to Rava the following: Mimayda hai pitzua daka ba'osa makom, ema merosho. How do I know that this din of pitzua daka is there in that place of the body? Maybe it's we just always assume, right? The pitzua daka means in the reproductive organs. Maybe that's not true. Maybe it means someone who had a his head was crushed. His head got injured in some way. So Amalei midlom mana beidoros shmai mina ba'osamakam, because the fact, meaning typically when there's some type of psul, right? So they say, oh, it's a Mitzri three generations, lo yavo b'kal Hashem. A Moavi, certain number, so the fact that we don't talk about multiple generations, so the implication is it's something that makes the person not able to have multiple generations. That's the point. So Gemara says, "V'dilma hai de lo mana bodoros di'ihu hu de'aser b'rei u'bar b'rei kasher." Maybe the fact that you don't mention generations is just because it only applies to him. It doesn't apply to his children. Maybe that's the reason, right? Gemara says, "No, do me the krushifcha." It's like this, it's similar as krushifcha. Ma krushifcha ba'oso makom af hainami ba'oso makom. No, if once you assume that krushifcha is again severing of the of that organ, right, which is the reproductive organ, so too. Petua daka presumably is also in the same area. How do you know that krushifcha is also in that place, right? Maybe krushifcha means the mouth. It means it's it has some type of, you know, his lips were cut in some way. Whereas it says no, shafcha ksiv b'makom sheshofich. Krushifcha means in a place where the thing is, it pours out. Okay, I mean it's an area where there's some type of liquid that comes out of the body. Gemara says, "What do you mean? The aim of mechotamo? Maybe that's from his nose." So Gemara says, "No, miksiv bishvoch, karus shifcha ksiv." It doesn't say bishvoch or bisvoch like by his mouth, but rather karus shifcha ksiv. Misha ayade krisa shofech, shloy ayade krisa eno shofech. I mean, it's because of the severing that now things kind of just pour out. Right? But otherwise, they wouldn't have. Ela mikla. Right, meaning it's a part of the body that otherwise things don't, you know, come out in a certain way, but not as much, as opposed to this area where things always come out. Right, meaning the nose, things, you know, will constantly pour out. So that's different. So therefore, the drush is correct. It's referring specifically to the oso moko. Same thing. So, you know, mamzer has to do with reproduction. So again, petuadaka also has to do with reproduction. That's another way to say it. Nikev lamata meatara shekenegdo lamala meatara savar v'chiyav araba lachshurei. So what happens if, I'm going to, you know, talk more about the specifics here, but the lamata means further down towards the ground, right, further away from the body, and lamala means closer to the body. So what if a person has a cut on their aver that it's the atara is the thick part at the end, right? So the person has a cut down there and it goes across all the way to the higher part. And it's a cut all the way straight across. So Rechi wants to say that he's still okay. Amalei Rabbi Asi, Hachi Amar Rabbi Shmuel Levi, atara kol shehi miakeves. Now as long as some of the atara is cut, so then it's going to be ma'akev, it's going to make him puzzle, and we'll talk about more of those next time.